Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Malachi, chapter 2. Malachi, chapter 2. We'll read verses 10 through 14 together. Malachi, chapter 2, verses 10 through 14. Malachi, go to the book of Matthew and turn back a few pages and you'll be there. Malachi chapter 2, verses 10 through 14. Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously every man against his brother by profaning the covenant of our fathers? Judah hath dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord, which he loved, and hath married the daughter of a strange god. The Lord will cut off the man that doeth this, the master and the scholar, out of the tabernacles of Jacob, and him that offereth an offering unto the Lord of hosts. And this have ye done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, and with crying out, insomuch that he regardeth not the offering any more, or receiveth it with good will at your hand. And let's finish on verse 14 together. Ready? Yet ye say, wherefore, because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously, yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this church. Thank you that it is a light, a bright spot, a place of comfort and a respite for our community, especially for us. Father, please fill our preacher with your power tonight. Lord, our country is in desperate need of the Word of God. We stand before you sinful in need of it as well. So Father, please fill our preacher with your power in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Tonight's sermon is called Scriptural Loyalty. Scriptural Loyalty. Before I get into the sermon, I found a little something that might get us started out right, if you'll listen. There was a man who had worked all of his life and had saved all of his money and was a real miser when it came to his money. Just before he died, he said to his very loyal wife, "When I die, I want you to take all my money and put it in the casket with me. I want to take my money with me." And so he got his very loyal wife to promise him with all of her heart that when he died, she would put all the money in the casket with him. Well, he died. He was stretched out in the casket. His wife was sitting on the front row wearing black, and her friend was sitting right next to her. When they finished the ceremony, just before the undertaker got ready to close the casket, the wife said, "Just a minute." She had a box with her. She came over with the box and put it into the casket. The undertaker locked the casket down and they rolled him away. So her friend said, "Girl, I know you weren't foolish enough to put all the money in there with your husband." The very loyal wife replied, "Listen, I'm an honest, loyal wife. I can't go back on my word. I promised him that I was going to put that money in the casket with him." "You mean to tell me you put the money in the casket with him?" her friend said. "I sure did," said the wife. "I got all the money together. I put it into my checking account and wrote him a check. If he can cash it, he can spend it." That's loyalty for you right there. The sermon title, Scriptural Loyalty. We were reading in the book of Malachi, and we've seen a word three different times. I'll come back to that word in a moment, but the word is treacherously. This passage is God teaching us through Malachi of the importance of loyalty and his distaste of disloyalty. He is preaching and teaching against disloyalty. The word disloyalty is not found in the Bible. Probably the closest word in definition that is in the Bible is the word treachery. Treachery. I want you to notice, as we read earlier this evening, the mention of treachery in this passage of Scripture in Malachi. In Malachi chapter 2, verse number 10, the very first time that Malachi talks about treachery or disloyalty. It's not toward God, it's toward the brethren. Listen, it says in Malachi 2:10, have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously, every man against his brother? In that passage, he's talking about someone dealing treacherously with the brethren, and God is concerned about that. That's disloyalty toward our fellow man. Then, the second time he mentions treachery in this passage is in Malachi chapter 2, verse number 11. It's the very next verse, and he says, Judah hath dealt treacherously, and abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem, for Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord. Now we see disloyalty toward God and God, our holy God. So we see disloyalty toward God has been corrected. We see disloyalty toward our fellow man being corrected in this passage. And then thirdly, we see the word treachery used again, and it's in verse 14. And it says, yet you say, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. Yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. Here the Lord is now talking about another thing that disgusts him, and that's when we are disloyal to our spouse. So God said, I want you to learn to be loyal to the brethren. He was saying, I want you to learn to be loyal to me, God himself. Then he said, in a special way, I want you to learn to be loyal to your spouse. Did you know that even a dog knows how to be loyal? A dog knows how to be loyal. I have to tell this story. Our dog, now my wife's dog, Pupcake. Mrs. Moore, you remember the day you come out to visit us? Sorry about this. I'm telling the story. Ellen Moore came out and she's out the house with Mrs. Owens. Pupcake is on a run. She's on a chain. And for some reason that day, Pupcake was off of her chain. Now, Pupcake loves Mrs. Owens deeply. Pupcake doesn't have much use for me. And that's okay. Feelings mutual. But boy, Mrs. Owens, that's her dog, and they're close. They are close. If she had to pick between me and the dog, I just don't know what would happen. But she loves her dog. Well, Mrs. Moore was out of the house one day, and they'd been visiting, and Mrs. Moore got done and shot toward her car. Well, I don't know what Pupcake thought, but somehow Pupcake thought that, you know, you didn't like Mrs. Owens or something, and she went after Mrs. Moore and nipped her. And she was going away, and I won't tell you where she nipped her, but I'm telling you, I couldn't believe it. Pupcake, Mrs. Moore, wouldn't you agree Pupcake's loyal? Yeah, she is. She's loyal. You know, it's sad to me that a dog can be taught loyalty, but there are some people that never learn how to be loyal. I know some dogs that are more loyal than some husbands and wives are to each other. That's why they say dog is man's best friend, I think. Loyalty, I see it expressed in Revelation chapter 2. In Revelation 2:10 it says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. Ye shall have tribulation 10 days, but be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Here the Lord is saying, you need to learn to be faithful unto death. No matter what you face, you need to learn how to be faithful unto death. Loyalty is a quality that affects every relationship in life. God knows if you are truly a loyal person. God knows. You're not loyal to someone just because you don't attack that someone. You're not loyal just because you're not disloyal. Loyalty rises to the defense of its object. Even if your loyalty costs you something, and that's one of the real tests of loyalty, is it going to cost you something to be loyal? That's when you find out if it's real loyalty. Listen to this. Philippians 3:10, this is Paul speaking of his relationship with Jesus Christ. It says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Paul was loyal to Christ, even to the point where he said, I am willing to be a partaker of the fellowship of his sufferings, not just the fellowship of healings, and not just the fellowship of blessings, not just the fellowship of him feeding me and clothing me and blessing me. Paul said, I'm going to be loyal to Christ even if I must suffer to be loyal. Well, you all know this. Disloyalty is a church splitter. Disloyalty is a home wrecker. Disloyalty within a business can deteriorate that business and make it a mess, make work a terrible place to be. True scriptural loyalty is based on and practiced because we're obedient to the doctrine of loyalty. You know, loyalty, the word may not be in the Bible exactly. And you say, well, I'll tell you what, that's not a doctrine like the rapture. Well, the word rapture is not in the Bible either. The Bible talks about a snatching away, but the word rapture is not in the Bible, and all sorts of you think that that's a doctrine. But the teaching is there, just like loyalty's teaching is there. It's there. It's very clear in the Bible. Now, that actual word loyalty is not there, nor is the word disloyalty there. But loyalty is a truth of the Bible. Yes. Hey, loyalty is a truth to which you're to be loyal. Yes, sir. It's a truth. It's in the Bible. It's taught. And we are to be loyal to the truth of loyalty. Now, let me see if I can very, very simply and practically teach the lesson that I call scriptural loyalty. Number one, why is there a need for loyalty? Why? What? Or maybe I could call point number one, the first disloyalty. Or maybe the original disloyalty. Follow me. Heaven was a perfect place. God was a perfect leader. Lucifer was in the perfect place under the leadership of a perfect leader. Lucifer was an archangel in heaven. In the perfect heaven, under the leadership of a perfect leader, and Lucifer became disloyal. Listen to Isaiah chapter 14. It says in verse 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? By the way, disloyal people will get cut down to the ground eventually by God. The Bible says, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will set also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Remember, Lucifer was in a perfect heaven under the leadership of a perfect God. And we see here that Lucifer messed up. Some would say pride was the original sin. That may be so, but let me say that pride and disloyalty were one and the self-same of the original sin. Disloyalty is pride motivated. Lucifer, again, in a perfect place, heaven, he was still disloyal to God. Folks, disloyalty is not caused by where you are, it's caused by what you are. Disloyalty is not caused by where you are. It is caused by what you are. It is proven by the fact that Lucifer was in a perfect place. But Lucifer had a flaw. It was disloyalty. Yes. Lucifer was led by a perfect leader. Yes, sir. And yet, Lucifer was disloyal. Hey, disloyalty is not caused by your leader. It's caused by you. Let it be noted that the first disloyalty was the follower's fault, not the leader's fault. Disloyalty is the brainchild of Lucifer, Satan, the devil. And from that day to this, the quality of loyalty has been tainted among men, just like so many other parts of our lives and character have been tainted. God hates disloyalty so much he created a hell for Lucifer and his prideful, disloyal followers, and one third of them were cast into hell because of it. Folks, loyalty is a commitment of faithfulness in both word and deed to a truth, a cause, or to a person. And it's taught in the Bible. So why do we have to deal with disloyalty? Well, we go to the original sin, which was a combination of pride and loyalty all bundled into one. And there was a perfect place and a perfect leader, but there was an imperfect follower that hurt and destroyed and has been wrecking havoc ever since. Yes. Number two, our loyalty is first and foremost to be to the Word of God. To the Word of God. John chapter 8, verse 31, it says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." Jesus even tells us that to be loyal to him, we must be loyal to the Word of God. You can't be loyal to Jesus without being loyal to the Word of God. He said in John 14:15, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." He said in John 14:21, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself unto him." Jesus told us to be loyal to him. You have to be loyal to the Word of God. The foremost loyalty is to be to the Word of God. Jesus said that he proved his loyalty to God by keeping God's word to God. That's how Jesus proved his loyalty to the Godhead. It says in John 15:10, "If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Jesus even said, for me to be loyal to my God, I must keep the word that he wrote. I'm to keep what he wants. In Matthew 5, verse 17 and 18, it says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." Jesus said, I want to be perfectly loyal to my God, which means I must perfectly be what I was created to be and follow the word and the desire of God perfectly. That's what made Jesus Christ loyal to the Godhead. Folks, we are to be loyal to the Word of God. We are to follow God's Word. That's loyalty. We are to stick to the Word of God. That's loyalty. We are to obey the Word of God. That's loyalty. And folks, we're not to change the Word of God. And because the Word of God is not to change, that means our loyalty does not change. It's solid. You're to be, number one, loyal to the Word of God. So, I said this. I said, why was there need for teaching on loyalty or disloyalty? It's because of the fall of Satan, who was in a perfect heaven, who had a perfect leader, but he was the one that was imperfect. Our loyalty is to the Word of God, first of all, and then loyalty for other relationships is developed by our loyalty to the person of Jesus Christ. Loyalty for other relationships is developed by our loyalty to Jesus Christ. Philippians 3:10, Paul said, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death." Paul said, I want to know Jesus. I want to know him. And folks, your ultimate relationship loyalty in life is you're to be loyal to Jesus. Now, the truth to which you are to be loyal, the concepts to which you are to be loyal, are those things that are printed in the Word of God. Then as you develop relationships in life, you also can build a relationship with the person of Jesus Christ, who is reflected in the principles or truth of Jesus Christ. But your ultimate relationship with a person, your loyalty is to be to the Jesus of the Bible. You should be loyal to Jesus. That's accomplished by being loyal to his word. He himself stated it in John 8:31. "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue my word, then are you my disciples." Now, your relationship to Jesus plays a major role in your ability to exercise loyalty in your other relationships. I really believe that. You'll find the most loyal spouses on the face of the earth are people who have been taught to be loyal to Jesus. The number of divorces in the New Testament church are far lower than anywhere else. And I'll tell you why. Because you are taught loyalty to Jesus and to truth. And that multiplies itself in your way of living. And it creates a deep old loyalty between a husband and his wife and between a wife and a husband. I said your relationship to Jesus plays a major role in your ability to exercise loyalty in other relationships. Tell you what, in the church, you show me somebody that's getting away from Jesus, watch out. Disloyalty may be on the horizon. Look, folks, if you can't be loyal to Jesus who is perfect, how could you be loyal to someone that is less than perfect? That just makes sense to me. The reason there is disloyalty is because Lucifer, he's in heaven in a perfect place with a perfect God, but he was flawed. So he turns on God. Now we have to work on this thing. Prior to that, we didn't have this problem. Your ultimate loyalty is to be to the Word of God. Your ultimate loyalty in a relationship is to be to Jesus Christ. But that loyalty to Jesus Christ is one of the foundational teachings in regard to loyalty to others. Because if you can't be loyal to a perfect Jesus and to a perfect Bible, you dead sure are going to have a hard time being loyal to other tainted people. Number next, leaders are to be loyal. Leaders are to be loyal. God is my leader. And he's loyal. Perfectly. God's loyal. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able." Here the Bible says God is faithful to you. God has never nor will ever allow a temptation to come upon you that's too big for you. He's loyal to you. He said, you can count on me. God is faithful to me. What am I? A sinner. But God's faithful to me. God is our leader. God's loyal. Jesus is our leader. God's son, God's only begotten son. Hey, Jesus is loyal. He's a leader. Listen to Hebrews 13:5. "Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Who is that? That's Jesus saying, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." Who's he saying that to? Us human beings. Are we perfect? No. You know, the Bible says in 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. God's loyal to me. That's a perfect springboard into my being loyal back. I'm saying to you, leaders are to be loyal. Our God is loyal. Our Jesus is loyal. Did you know that Jesus proves his loyalty to us men who are imperfect? He proves it to us in our security, in our salvation. You know what? He saved us. He said, "And I'm going to keep you that way." But wait a minute. I'm not perfect. Am I going to sin after my salvation? Sure. But God said, "I'll be loyal to you. I'll keep you in the family." John chapter 10, verse 27 through 29, it says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Boy, that's Jesus being loyal to us.
Right. Yes, sir.
Folks, every leader here, most of the time when someone teaches on loyalty, they're talking to the follower. I believe that loyalty starts with leadership. Now, that statement is irrelevant to me, but I'm going to tell you, I believe that I want to say to this congregation, leaders ought to be loyal. Our God's a leader. He's loyal. Jesus is a leader. He's loyal. And every leader here, you need to be loyal to your God. You need to be loyal to the Word of God. You need to be loyal to Jesus Christ. What kind of relationship, leader, do you have with Jesus Christ? You ought to have a loyal relationship with the person of Jesus Christ. You ought to have a loyal relationship with the Word of God. Then, I believe that leaders ought to be loyal to leaders. I don't like the way the world is. Backstabbing, throat cutting. No, it should not be that way. Don't you think that all the disciples the 12 that were with Jesus Christ, don't you think that they were pretty disappointed with what Judas did? They were disgusted. They were supposed to be a team for the cause of Jesus Christ. And they had a disloyal skunk in the group. What a mess. And believe me, they might have said, "We love him," but they were disgusted with the sin of disloyalty. Because they were to stick together. Leaders are to be loyal to leaders. Now, don't you forget, your ultimate loyalty is to the Word of God. Your ultimate loyalty is to the person of Jesus Christ. But it's obvious that God even says, "I'm going to be loyal to the human race."
So there is an element of loyalty that is shared between human beings. Now, in fact, you say, well, I don't believe that. Well, then let's let your wife be disloyal to you and see what you think about that. Let's see if you really do believe there should be no loyalty between human beings. No, you do believe in it. You do believe, and you insist on it. Matter of fact, you demand it and you expect it. And you even criticize people that were disloyal. See, leaders are to be loyal to Jesus. Leaders are to be loyal to the Word of God. There's an element of loyalty that ought to be practiced between leaders. You say, well, how so? Well, you find somebody that's loyal to the Word of God. You find somebody that's loyal to Jesus Christ. Then you obviously share loyalties with them. Then I think this. I think leaders are to be loyal to followers. I believe that. I believe that. I like that verse. We love him because he first loved us. You leaders in this church, the people that are following you as you follow Jesus Christ. Let me explain something to you leaders. You're not to be using people. You're not to hurt the people. Everybody look right at me. You're not to hurt the people that are in the ranks. They're not to be used and then tossed away. Not at all. It's not supposed to be that way. You leaders, you need to learn. Look, there are certain times somebody comes to you as a leader and they're sharing, they're having a little bit of a financial difficulty. They came to you in confidence. There ought to be a loyalty there. We don't go around blabbing your big fat mouth about some struggle that somebody had. Somebody in the church has a little struggle in their marriage and they come to you as a leader because they had confidence in you. And they come and they came because they needed someone to help them. They did not need you to turn around and spread that all over the church. There ought to be a loyalty toward the follower. You will find that when in the ranks there is a strong loyalty up the ladder, usually it's because they know there is a strong loyalty down the ladder.
Yes, sir. That's good.
You husbands, let me explain something to you. Usually the wives who strongly, deeply are loyal to their husbands, usually it's because their husbands are strongly, deeply loyal to their wives. I love my wife very dearly. I can put up with a lot of stuff. I'll just give you a warning. You mess with her, you'll have a tiger by the tail. You've never seen me mad. You say, oh, well, that was minimal. I love her. I'm going to be loyal to her. And by the way, she's loyal to me, I'll guarantee you. I'll ask my wife, did somebody say something to you about this? She said, honey, nobody ever talks negative to me about anything. Why? Well, you know she'll come right to me and tell me. We're a team. I don't need you. I need her. I mean that. I can do this without you. I got to have her. I'm keeping her. I have to. When I went and got the marriage license, I thought it was renewable every year. It's permanent. It's not like a fishing license. I didn't know. Listen, I believe leaders are to be loyal down the ladder. Some leaders think all the loyalty goes up. You find the military men who went into battle and they had abused the men under them. It's a dangerous thing to go into battle when everybody under you hates your guts. But you go into battle with a bunch of men that know that you love them and that you would die for them, then they'll die for you. So I don't think loyalty is just all about those at the bottom. You look up and respect the leader. Look, my God is loyal to me. He said, Jeff, I'm saving you and I'm keeping you and I already know you're going to screw up. Thank God. Thank God my God's that way. So, why do we have to have teaching on loyalty? It's because of Satan, who was in a perfect place that had a perfect leader, proved that he was tainted. And loyalty Disloyalty is not based on where you are, but what you are. Disloyalty is not based on your leader, it's based on you. And that is proven by the origination of the act. And then I said our first and foremost loyalty is to the Word of God. I said secondly, loyalty is to be to the person of Jesus Christ. I said then, leaders are to learn to be loyal. Number five, the Bible teaches that we're to be loyal to the leaders that God puts into our life. We already know we're to be loyal to God. Listen to this verse, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16 through 18. It says, "At my first answered no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge." Paul said at first, no man stood with me. No man. They all forsook me. And then Paul said, but I prayed that God would not lay it to their charge. Why? Because Paul was saying he knew it was sinful that those people betrayed him. He said, I knew it was sinful that they walked away from me and didn't stand up for me. He said, and I begged God not to lay it to their charge. He goes on, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. God stood with Paul. When people said, I'm going to be loyal to Paul, God said, I'll be loyal to Paul. Who's Paul? You really know his background? Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Satan was attacking Paul. People betrayed Paul. God said, I stick with you. Thank God. It says, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work. What's evil? That's when people get together. Evil's not like sin. Sin is what you do to hurt yourself. Evil is when you begin to hurt others. You rally people together to attack leadership. He said, the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. Paul said, no man stood with me. He said, I prayed because a bunch of people forsook me when they should have stuck with me. But I thank God, God stayed with me. I guess the Bible does teach that there's to be a loyalty shared among the brethren. God teaches that you're to be loyal to your parents. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 1 says, children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. Exodus 20:12 says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. You're supposed to obey mom and dad. Mom and dad are going to teach you the Bible. You're to obey mom and dad, and you're to honor mom and dad. And let me explain, if you don't, God will kill you early. You say, I don't like that. That's what the Bible says. Disloyalty to godly parents will get you in trouble. You're not to be disloyal to your parents. God teaches loyalty to spouse. He says in Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. Ladies, I know it's not a teaching that's respected today, but you're to submit to your husband and you're to be loyal to your own husband. You're to be loyal. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. I mean, you talk about a commitment. Jesus was loyal to us unto death. There's to be a loyalty. Husbands and wives ought not be going around talking bad about each other. Mrs. Owens, there had never been anybody in this church ever come to me to try to say something bad about you. Well, they know better. To my knowledge, I don't know. There's only one person I know that's ever gone to her to say anything bad about me. I remember the incident, and she said to them, it'd be best that you be quiet right now. That's my husband. God teaches loyalty. The word treachery was used in Malachi. One of the things he was worried about is husbands and wives that were not loyal to each other. You say, well, she's not perfect. Well, neither are you, and God sticks with you no matter what you do. What makes you think you're smarter than God? God teaches loyalty, not because I'm the pastor, but I'm responsible for teaching you the whole counsel of God. And the Bible teaches loyalty to the man of God. And I'll tell you one reason why God takes special note of it, because the devil constantly attacks the man of God, and disloyalty and evil will come against the captain of the New Testament church. I mean, most of you have been in church long enough to know that. Who would the devil, and I'm both honored and scared of this, but who would the devil like to take out most in this church? I'm not trying to be cocky. I'm telling you the Bible. So God comes along and says, you better stick with your pastor the man of God who is loyal to the Word of God and to the Spirit of God and to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You see, just like Paul said, he said, they forsook me. Thank God. God said, I'll stand with you, but they forsook you. God teaches loyalty. He says in Hebrews 13:7, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of your conversation. Psalm 105:15 says, saying, touch not mine anointed, nor do my prophet no harm. 1 Timothy 5:19 says, against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Then it even goes on to say, you better do a good, thorough background check on those witnesses, because two or three people can get together and even lie. God teaches loyalty to your leaders. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. And so, loyalty is taught in the Bible. It's a faithfulness. It's a commitment. Let me keep going here. Loyalty is an action. It's not a feeling. Loyalty is an action, not a feeling. If loyalty were the transmission of a car, it would not be reverse. It would not be park. That's where some of you are. You think you're loyal because you're in park. It wouldn't be neutral. It would be drive.
Yes,
loyalty is expressed.
Yes.
You say, I just feel all loyal inside. Well, we hope someday it gets to come out.
Yes.
Matter of fact, there are times when loyalty has to be put in overdrive.
Yes, sir. Right.
Yes. Loyalty, there's both offense and defense in any game. Loyalty may need to be called upon in defense, and if you push it hard enough, it will become offensive.
Yes, sir.
Loyalty is a work, not an emotion.
Man.
Loyalty is a practice, not a sensation. Loyalty is a decision that is proven by its action, not just by words.
Yes.
You can say you're loyal all you want. It will be proven in your actions and your behavior.
Yes.
There are all sorts of people that are going, running away, saying, I'm loyal, I'm loyal, I'm loyal. But you're going the wrong direction then. I'm not just to say I'm loyal, I'm to act upon it. To the Word of God, to Jesus Christ, to my wife, to my husband, to my mom, to my dad, to my pastor, to the brethren, to my leader. Peter was guilty of an act of disloyalty. I know we don't like to say it that way, but that's what it was. Jesus would be crucified in not many hours, and Peter speaks up and speaks of his loyalty. He said in Mark 14:29, but Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. You know what he's saying? But Jesus, I mean, you're surrounded by some men, but I'm loyal, I tell you. In verse 31, Peter said, but he spake the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Peter said, I'm not going to be disloyal. I'm telling you, Jesus, I'll die before I'll be disloyal. That was his talk. Folk, talk is cheap. His actions, though, were disloyal. Because in Mark 14:54, it says, and Peter followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest, and he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. And if you know the story, they said, aren't you with Jesus? He said, nope. He cussed to make him look like he wasn't with them, denied and lied. Now, it wasn't very long ago. He said, I'll die before I'll be disloyal. Talks cheap. Some may call Peter's behavior awe loyal, talking out of both sides of the mouth. All loyalty tries to be on both sides, which is not loyalty at all. All loyalty is another form of disloyalty.
Right.
It just pacifies your thinking.
Yes.
That's because you're afraid you're going to lose if you take a stand, a specific stand. Disloyalty can be replaced with loyalty, though.
Yes.
Peter did. Peter, there was an act of disloyalty. He got it right, straightened it out, got back on track, preached the day of Pentecost.
Right.
Judas never did straighten it out. Let me say, loyalty becomes a habit.
Yes, sir.
Disloyalty becomes a habit as well.
Yes,
let me go on. Number 7, hardship rather than good times reveals true loyalty. Hardship rather than good times reveals true loyalty. Philippians 1:29 says, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Suffering for his sake. You say, I'm loyal to Jesus. We'll see when somebody mocks you and you go ahead and stand for Jesus.
Yes.
You say, I'm loyal to Jesus. We'll see when it gets tough financially and you decide not to tithe because you're going to take care of yourself instead of his New Testament church. We'll see how loyal you are. See, folks, loyalty may exist in the good times, but the proving ground is the hard times. Loyalty is revealed on the battlefield, not on the playground. Loyalty is not proven on the mountaintop, but in the valley. Loyalty can be faked in the good times. Loyalty is tested when the so-called loyal person has something to lose.
Yes. Right.
Or something to gain.
Right.
Ordinary people get on a church staff, start drawing people toward themselves, and all of a sudden they start getting accolades and praise, and the people like them, and then their pride, they get all puffed up and say, I'll just split this church, take some of these people with me. What happened? They had something to gain. Or if they think somebody's going to take something from them, they're going to lose something. Well, better get disloyal so I can defend what I want. My own increase. Loyalty is tested when the so-called loyal person has something to lose. Hey, before hardship comes, loyalty can only be spoken but not truly proven. Listen to this. Sometimes hardship comes to a church or to a leader not because of the hardship but to reveal or prove the loyalty of the followers. Sometimes hardship is not for hardship's case. It is for the proving of loyalty. I'll tell you something that happens in churches, happens all the time. Churches go through battles. Some people put their tail between their legs and run. There is a purging. And if everybody stays faithful and loyal, you know what happens after that? The church starts growing again, gets even bigger. Why? Something was holding the church back. Somebody wasn't real. Sometimes there is hardship for the revelation of loyalty. Some of you wives, you said in richness or in poorness when you said your vows, in poverty or wealth. Well, in wealth, you don't really prove your loyalty. When it came down to the fact that you were eating beans all the time, when it came down to the fact that you all didn't have very much money and you stuck with your husband anyway, that's when you truly prove loyalty. I know people that are more loyal to some sports team than they are to God. That's silly. Hardship sometimes comes so that loyalty can be proven. And what is loyalty? It's faithfulness to truth. Then finally, and I'm finished, betrayal is the final result of loyalty or disloyalty. Betrayal is the final result of disloyalty. Peter was disloyal, but he got it under control. He withdrew from Jesus at the devil's fire, but he didn't attack Jesus. He didn't start trying to destroy the cause of Christ. Peter gets right with Jesus, and then God uses him. You know, it is a rare thing that somebody starts down the path of disloyalty and regains and gets it right, but it can be done. Peter did. Enough that God said, now I'll let you preach Pentecost. He went down in history for a disloyal act, but he also went down in history for one of the greatest revivals in the New Testament church.
Right.
It can be fixed. But Judas betrayed Jesus and the other disciples. Judas let his disloyalty become betrayal and evil. Judas attacked. Judas tried to destroy. Judas hurt on purpose. Judas sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. That's about what they would sell a slave for in that day. Judas betrayed Jesus with a kiss. Some people think that loyalty is an emotion. It's not. Judas very gently stabbed Jesus in the back, but he still stabbed him. The kiss that Judas placed on the cheek of Jesus was not out of respect for Jesus. It was a kiss of a conscience soother for the backstabber. You watch, disloyal people will try to give you the impression of loyalty all the time that they're being disloyal. So I really respect the man, but let me tell you everything I don't like about him. That's the way they are. That is exactly what Judas did. It was a gentle kiss while he was taking the knife and stabbing in his back and twisting it and sending him to be crucified. Now, your biggest gossips compliment their victims before that long daggered tongue comes out, so they start dicing everybody up. Isn't that true? Well, I really like this. And that's their springboard into their venomous spit. Lucifer became disloyal in heaven and betrayed God by attacking him.
Yes.
Then he rallied one third of heaven's angels to him, and he's still attacking God to this day and trying to take everybody to hell with him that he can. Disloyalty is often expressed when loyalty is needed most. Jesus was facing the darkest hour, betrayed by disloyal Judas. And then it says that Judas also, not only did he betray Jesus, but it says, and then they all forsook him and fled. Folks, betrayal hurts people very deeply.
Yes.
David was betrayed, and he said in Psalm 55:4, my heart is sore pained. You know that when Jesus died on the cross, do you understand that the Bible says all the disciples forsook him? Even finally at the crucifixion, his mom and John, they were there. Do you understand that when Jesus died, they said they stuck a spear in his heart and forthwith came water and blood? There's a sack around your heart. It is said medically that they believe that Jesus died from a broken heart because that sack around his heart had ruptured. That may be why he was sweating great drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. You say, why would he be in so much agony of heart? I think part of it was the pain of the disloyalty that he suffered. Do you realize how much you pain people when you betray them? Do you realize how much you pain Jesus when you betray him? Jesus may have died of a broken heart due to the disloyalty of the human race. He faced it back in Isaiah chapter 14 when Lucifer was disloyal. Here he is dying on the cross for mankind, trying to clean up the mess that Lucifer had created. And again, somebody was disloyal to him as he was dying for them. The word disloyalty is not found in the Bible. Treachery is the closest word you'll find. The word loyalty is not found in the Bible. It is a compilation of the word faithful. Faithful. A faithful man who can find. Faithful to what? Truth. Faithful to what? Jesus. Faithful to what? Even to the brethren. It's taught in the Bible. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. If you're not saved tonight, I wish you'd trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He's faithful to you. You need to trust him. If you've been saved and you've never made it public or been baptized, why don't you come tonight and let us help you with it? Some of you need to learn loyalty. You need to learn loyalty to your spouse. You need to learn. And you know, some of you that didn't have your parents weren't loyal to you. You struggle with this thing terribly, just terribly. Those of you that have been hurt by other people, you just cannot see how you can trust anybody. You probably don't trust Jesus like you should. You probably don't trust the Holy Spirit like you should. You don't trust the Bible like you should. You always got to second guess everybody around you. Constantly, even the best Christians alive, you second guess them. Who do you trust? You. Well, if I were you, I'd be real careful trusting you. Maybe you need the altar. I don't know. We'll make the altar available. I'll ask the instrumentalist to begin to play.